This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
It is Thursday, May 26th, or to be more exact, it's quarterfinals day, guys. How excited are you and how rested are you? Because we got a day off yesterday also to, you know, build our energy for this weekend.
We love days off. We love work days, but we love days off. Yeah, I feel great. Switching cities is always fun because you know the end is, you're close to the end. And getting to a new spot, new hotel, new city, kind of like a little burst of energy for the last few days.
Yeah, and that's a burst of energy you got because you're finally joining Reagan and I here in Tampere. And you guys literally bumped into each other yesterday. And we're talking about that in a literal sense by accident. We have not met yet. So I'm also looking forward to that. That's finally happening after 2 weeks of us chatting.
I know.
Through video, chatting, well, through audio.
Months before the tournament started. Exactly. 2 weeks, you know, doing this every day. And I was driving one of those little scooters around, which are amazing. And so, wheeling home.
I think I'm the only one who refuses to get on them.
Oh, no. No, I'm a total convert now. I love them. And I went right by and I said, is that Reagan? I've never met her before. I don't know how tall she is. Like, I see her face every day, but I don't know, you know, the rest of. And I'm like, I think that's Reagan. Anyways, so, yeah, we met for the first time in the street about midnight. She was going home and I was going home. And, yeah, so welcome to Tampere, Reagan's town. That's what I heard.
That's right.
People know everyone recognizes here. Reagan on the street, so it's about time you did also, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just one of the legions of fans. Exactly.
he follows me on TikTok now, everyone.
There you go.
Really?
I don't even. Him
to. I'll tell you what. I'm so bad. I don't even remember my TikTok login, so I haven't been in ages. But you know what? For you, Reagan, I'll do a forget password. Perfect. And I'll come follow you.
And then go follow the IIHF hockey account as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Everyone should follow. I follow every other IIHF hockey account. I admit I'm not the TikTok generation.
It's all good.
We've got a big slate of games ahead of us today. Quarterfinals, really interesting matchups. And let's start with one matchup that we really don't know who can come out on top. And that's the Germany-Czechia game today over in Helsinki.
Yeah, I think that along with Sweden, Canada, obviously the 2-3 matchups feel like they're the closest, but Germany has had a solid tournament, but they've not been dominant. Even against, you know, some of Denmark or France, they've not blown teams out. It's, you know, kind of slow and steady and methodical, find ways to win, get pretty good goaltending, get pretty good offense. So we'll see, you know, is there room to elevate? Like they're going to have to play better to beat Czechia. Czechia is a solid team with really good players, can defend really well. And so without Tim Stutzle, they don't really have a game breaker, like a star offensive player to kind of go do something on his own. So Reagan, I'm curious, can Germany kind of elevate their game to solve Czechia's defense? Because I think that's going to be a challenge.
I definitely agree with you. It's going to be a one goal game. And if I'm not right, I'm going to be upset because I have a feeling that it's going to be a one goal game. And I'm pretty good at calling these. But the way that Czechia has been playing, it's kind of been a little bit up and down up until Pasternak came. And then even into the last game that they played, it was a 3-goal loss. And that's kind of tough mentally because you're thinking, okay, we're really going to be here with this team. We're going to be able to get some goals. And then they don't produce. And so I'm hoping that they don't take anything from that last game, that scoring wise, into this game, because then it won't be as fun. But I know that they have some very skilled players that really know how to connect with each other on the ice, especially on power plays. They're very good at finding each other in all the right places and getting into the slot. Like they're unafraid to get to the net, get pucks to the net, and then even, you know, jump into the plays. Like defense are willing to jump into plays. Everyone's willing to get where they need to be.
Mike, you mentioned Germany not having Tim Stützle on the team. So when you look at their roster at the moment, either you or Mike or Reagan, who do you pinpoint as the player who needs to step up in order to make sure that Germany wins this game and gets to the semifinals?
Well, it's unfair to say the goaltender, Philipp Grubauer, because that's obvious. But I mean, he'd be the first guy to go to. But there's kind of, I'll give you, the goaltender, of course, has to be good. But that's for both teams. I think Mo Sider is the other big star on Germany, and he's had a solid tournament, but like that's how good he is. It's been solid, doesn't feel like it's been spectacular, and yet he's been one of the best players on defense in the tournament. So he's going to have to play a ton. Germany has, Germany will try to match up. They'll have home ice, like last change. So they'll try to get him out against Pasternak as much as he can. So he's going to have to be a guy that defends really well, plays a ton, 25 minutes. And the other duo up front is Fordal and Nobles. They play together in Berlin. They just won a championship. They've been around at Olympics, other world championships, and they are kind of like the consistent steady Eddies. They come up with a big play, a goal. You know, they both have about a point a game in this tournament. I look to those two kind of to be the kind of quiet leaders up front.
I think it's going to be a team effort. I know that sounds like a cop out, Mike, but what I will say is so many of the Germans, there's what, like seven of them have 5+ points in this tournament. It's not like there's one person that's like really, really carrying everyone. And obviously Grubauer, he's played decently well, but he's going to have to step up his game like to a whole nother level in order to win tonight's game.
And these are two teams that regardless of which one of them wins, it's a big deal for them to get to the semifinals. Whereas we have games that are pitting two gold medal contenders against each other, and one of them is not making it to Saturday. I'm talking first of all about Sweden, Canada.
This whole tournament, it comes down to today. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't get it done on quarterfinal day, whether the tournament feels like a loss, like you wasted two weeks. If you win the quarterfinals, you know, you're playing for a medal, you're playing on the final weekend, on the final day. And so, you're right. Both teams legitimately have gold medal aspirations that they think they should win. And someone will be going home very disappointed. Reagan, how do you think Sweden, who have been great, have played tight games, will they play aggressively against Canada, or will they play that kind of patient game they've shown for much of the round robin?
I'm hoping they don't change the patience. I hope that they stick to what they've been doing well, because whenever, even, you know, you change your style of play whenever you play different teams, but you still stick to your core values at the end of the day. And that's the patience that they have. They like to control the game a little bit more. They like to take their time with the puck. But if you play down to Canada's level, you're going to get Canada's result, what they want. And so I think that they should keep playing their game, and Canada should switch it up and play better against Sweden.
If you look at the old scorecard, it is goaltending and defense and like system, check, 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 Sweden. Like they're better. They've played better. They are better. If you look at talent throughout the forward lines, it's check Canada. Like Canada's got more better forwards. Now, Sweden may have the best forward in William Nylander, but Canada has more better forwards. And I think that's the game. Can Canada's forwards break down Sweden's system and defense and goaltenders, or will the system and the defense frustrate Canada and then allow Sweden to play in the offensive end, where Canada's not been great and the goaltenders haven't been great? So like that is the push-pull of this game.
Mike, I have a question for you. If you're the head coach of Team Canada, what are you doing today to help prep your team?
There's only so much you can do, right? Like you can't, you're going over the system again. You're reminding them of what they want to do, but there's only so much you can do on the last day. So, I think at this point you're preaching discipline is probably the easiest thing to say, like no silly penalties, good stick habits. Don't get caught cheating for offense. Like, you know, they are never going to get caught. So we can't either, because they think we're going to go back and forth. It's not going to work. So, that's the message. And then you roll the dice and say, Logan Thompson, please have a good game.
Yeah, prayers up.
Because it's been hit or miss a little bit in net. And I think Logan Thompson's going to play. He's been a little nicked up for a couple games. He didn't dress even as a backup. Drieger started two in a row, but I think it's going to be Thompson so long as he's healthy. If it's Drieger, that you're just saying, please have a really good game because we need one.
And Reagan, who do you think the Finnish fans are going to come out for today? Because we've seen them in games throughout the preliminaries coming to every single game. There have been Finnish fans at every single game, and we saw them cheering the United States when they played against Sweden. Who do you think they're going to come out in favor for? Can either of these teams expect the crowd to be behind them?
They will not be rooting for Sweden. That is for sure. I told you guys.
That's the reaction I was expecting.
There's only two things that the Finnish people love, and that is winning and Sweden losing. I've said that before, and they stay true to that. So they will definitely be rooting for Canada, and they will be very loud about any mistake that Sweden makes.
What's that expression? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Canada's their friend today.
Yeah. Tomorrow, probably not the same thing.
Probably not.
Would they also, here's a question, rather meet Canada in a semifinals, or would they rather meet Sweden and get some sort of revenge in that sort of game?
I think if you're going revenge, it's going to go the opposite of what you want. So I would pick Canada personally, because just the way they match up. Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Worse. Yes, that's why. I'm kidding. I'll say it. I want the none of the past will be easy. But if you're asking me if I'd like a harder game against a rival or an easier game against a great hockey country that's maybe not the rival, I'll take like the not rival. That's an easier game. Yes. Yeah. That's what I want. Absolutely.
Mentally and physically an easier game.
Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about their matchup with Slovakia, because they have to beat them in order to get there in the first place.
How is anyone going to score, Regan? Can you tell me how anybody is going to score against Finland and Okanora?
And like, who please. Is going to score? Well, come on, Regan, if your predictions are on point, give us
if there's going to be one guy
as well.
It's going to be Juraj Slafkovský. That guy, we'll get into him, but he's been incredible. But that's the story, isn't it, for Finland? Like, just how suffocating their defense is?
Mm-hmm. They are shut down. I wouldn't want to play them, and I'm a defense. So if I was a forward, I know I would have a tough time. Just they are, we've talked about systems, and they have a system. They have a very, very good system that they can shut down in the neutral zone. They can shut down as soon as they get over the blue line. And they basically force teams to dump the puck in, because that's so annoying, not having the puck on your stick, not having a possession game, having to always retrieve the puck and get back to whatever game that you want to play. Finland is going to give Slovakia a run for their money. And if they don't win today, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, this feels like it's been a good run for Slovakia. They had to have some good things happen. They smoked Denmark to get in, but I'm with you. It just feels like Finland's a better team. They got better players. Mm-hmm. They're playing so tight. They're at home. They have the crowd. Mm-hmm. But what Slovakia has, one is some momentum. They had a really good Olympics they're building off of. And they have that young, naive fearlessness that is awesome. Like, you're not overwhelmed by the moment. You don't care about the opponent. You don't get nervous because it's like, whatever. I'm a teenager. I'm 21. I'm 22. Whatever it is. And I think that is something that will help Slovakia at least play their best game, because they won't kind of be overwhelmed by the moment. They might be overwhelmed by the opponent, but not the moment. And I think that's something that gives them at least a chance.
So from young naivety to the experienced, listen to what Valtteri Filppula had to say about their aspirations and how special this team is, as you said.
I think we feel good about ourselves, yeah, but it's so many good teams, and it's always tough when it's one game and you're either keep playing or you're out. So you just got to stay focused, and hopefully we keep getting better and have a couple more games left.
And there's that word again, focus. Keep staying
spoken
focused.
Like a veteran, because he knows
exactly.
Like, and the beauty and the horror of this day is that you can play well and it won't matter. You can do everything you're supposed to do and you might not win. You might have a bad bounce, a bad penalty, whatever. And like, the margins will be so fine in probably three of the four games that could be the deciding factor of a successful or what feels like a failed tournament. So he's right. Like, as good as they've been, one off day, one off moment, and it's all for naught.
With Finland, they believe that they can win. Obviously, every team believes that they can win, but like, the belief in Finland is extra high just because the fans being here, just because of how well they've been playing, how well they've shut down other teams. And they've had some close games, but like, even in those close games, you knew that Finland was going to pull through. And to see them coming into what's that meme for, Mike?
No, you're right. I'm agreeing. But I wonder, like, Reg.
He doesn't always disagree with you, Reagan. No. It happens like, that he agrees with you.
I'm putting myself into the opposition. So like, you're coming up against this machine in Finland. Wouldn't it be great to plant a seed of doubt, to get up one, to get up two, to get out of, you know, finish the first period up 2-0 or something? You're like, they've never been here before. Like, they've never kind of felt the scoreboard pressure that they might lose. They've always felt like they're going to win. So let's try to challenge them in that way. Let's try to give them something they've never seen before, which is like a deficit. Make them chase a game where they can't just sit back and be super patient and whatever. So that will be part of whatever attempted recipe for success Slovakia is going to try to come up with today.
Meanwhile, the last matchup we have over in Helsinki, Switzerland versus the United States. Is it fair to consider Switzerland sort of a dark horse, a team that you were expecting to do well, but not as well as they have in this tournament so far?
I mean, yeah, I guess to have them win the division, that's unusual, right? Like that would be a surprise. But quite to be fair, Group A was not nearly as good as Group B. I mean, Group A was much thinner. Canada was good, not great. Germany was good, not great. Like they were, you know, and Switzerland was excellent. So they took advantage of the draw. They were the best team. Maybe they'll be surprised by the challenge that the Group B teams posed them. But they're good though. You watch them play; they're good, fast, and they have star players. Like Nico Hischier's a star. Timo Meier's a star. Like they have really good players. They got the sentimental value in Andreas Ambuhl setting records for games played and tournaments appeared in this tournament. So they got a lot of stuff going well for them. And it's probably a change in mindset because almost always, Reagan, when Switzerland gets to this game, of course they believe they can win, but the opponent almost also always believes they're going to win. And I think that like that transition from being like, we're close, but we're not equal or better, is a really hard last step to take. And I think this tournament, Switzerland's trying to take that step. Like, we're going to this game against the US as the favorite and should feel like that.
I'm not rooting for USA in today's game. I see a Switzerland side. I haven't seen them play in person, so Mike, it's probably a little bit different for you, but what I've seen from USA is more so disappointing than anything. The way they've been playing has not been cohesive. They haven't been able to make passes. They haven't been able to get out of their zone. It's been like ping pong in some of the games. Like the puck is just going back and forth and back and forth, and they don't have like a clear possession over it, maybe in like some of their blowout games. But this one's going to be a very tight game. And what I've seen in the tight games is their emotions go awry. They do not know how to handle it, especially when they're down. And if Switzerland can stay calm and have their good leadership like they've had the rest of this tournament, Switzerland's going to take the cake.
And one player that we are bidding farewell from after the preliminaries is Denmark's Frans Nielsen. He announced before the tournament that he will be retiring at the end of it. So before we talk about his accomplishments and what he has meant to Danish hockey, just listen to Nielsen after his final game.
You know, it's tough right now when you know, it's all you know, it's all you've done your whole life. It's a weird feeling. I know I took the right one, and, you know, I'm looking forward to spend more time with the family and the kids, but it's emotional right now. I think the competing out there, I think you probably can't find that anywhere else in life. And then just the friendships you build, the life in the locker room, all the fun you have with all your best friends, basically, every day, every single day. So it's all stuff that I'm going to miss. So I don't know if there's a single thing, but it's definitely all the fun you have. Hopefully I can stay involved in hockey somehow. But for now, I just want to get home and wake up every day and be with the family. Don't have to worry about going to the gym now.
And for anyone who hasn't seen this, go to the IIHF social channels, because just watching him speak, and obviously this is post-game, he is sweaty, but you know some of that are also tears
emotions. Yes.
Exactly. He's crying, and you can see how much this sport has meant to him. And not only hear it, he's wearing his heart on his sleeve in this interview.
I think that it's tough whenever your career comes to an end. Mike had a little bit longer career than I did, but I've been playing the past 20 years of my life, and I think I've decided to retire. Well, I'll see if I hold true to that, but I know the feeling of having your identity wrapped up in your athlete identity, where that's what makes up you. You have the compete from playing, you have your love for the game, you have your passion, everything came from hockey, all your lifelong friendships, all of that. And for that to just be taken away, not suddenly because he knew that it was coming, but it feels suddenly in the moment. It's definitely hard. And yet, I'm sad for him.
You make that decision that you're going to retire, but nothing prepares you for that first morning when you wake up. And like he says, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to go to practice. Mike, what is that first morning like when it all of a sudden reality hits you, sort of?
Well, it's probably bittersweet. Like, part of it's nice. Like, whew, I can sleep in. I can hit snooze. I can roll over. I can go play golf. I can do whatever. But eventually you're like, yeah, that the routine of your life, the structure of your life, the rhythm of your calendar. I start working out now, and then I start skating in July, and then I head to camp, and my family comes. Like, all that stuff is now out the window. And it kind of, that's where some guys, you know, have a challenge of trying to find some of that structure. But to listen to him talk, if you were to ask, like, how I felt when I retired, like, what are you going to miss? Verbatim, that's what I would have tried to say as eloquently as he said. Like, and I think this one thing that maybe non-athletes might not appreciate, and Reagan touched on, is like, the we're all competitive. That's why we are successful at sports. And there are very few things in life where there is a scorecard available to you daily. Like, I do a job now, work in the media. If I have a good game, if I have a bad game, I don't know. There's nobody telling me that. There's no scoreboard, Mike, good game. There's something tangible and fulfilling and challenging about every day you show up to work, and you know if you've had a good day, did you win? Did you score? Did you get, like, or a bad day? And I think there's something in us that fuels, and you miss that. And that competitive outlet is something that athletes, when they retire, have a hard time finding a fill for. And then you talk about, and this is what truly people don't quite understand. Like, the locker room is like a kindergarten class for grownups. It's the best. It's so stupid and funny and hilarious and bonding. And like, it lets you live this kind of time, like, freeze moment in time where you can just be a kid, a teenager, not serious, even though you're an adult, if you're 35 or 20 or whatever, mm-hmm. 25, whatever it might be. And it is like, you get to that every day. You show up to, like, play every day. Mm-hmm. And the moments that you share there, for sure. So I totally get it. And we wish him well. He's had an incredible career.
He had internationally such an effect on Danish hockey. Listen to fans that we found in the streets talking about how much he has done for Denmark when it comes to hockey.
Frans Nielsen has meant a lot to the Danish ice hockey. He was the first guy who went to the NHL and shown the Danish people that it's possible to get to the NHL and live your dream as an ice hockey player.
It means everything. He's brought us all the way from playing from C to B to A class today, so it means everything to us. It is a sad day. Well, it's not a sad day because he's done so much for us. So the honor that he plays his last game, that's a brilliant thing for us. When he was sold the first time to America, we were, oh my God, hell, Denmark exploded. We thought that was the beginning of hockey in Denmark. And as you see today, it was the beginning.
Not wrong.
The beginning of hockey in Denmark. I don't think you can get a bigger compliment than that as a player.
He's the best Danish player to ever play in North America. And I think, as you see, I think they, you know, there's 5 or 6 or 7 Danes in the NHL this past year, and he paved the way.
And you hear so many of them talking about the fact that they watched him when they were growing up, and they saw that it's possible. He really did open the door for Danish hockey players to succeed and see that it's possible.
And I don't think we as North Americans, Reagan, can appreciate that. Like, you know, I guess, like, I never questioned, like, I questioned my ability to make the NHL, but I never questioned about, like, the path to get there. Like, it was always just like, yeah, if you're good enough, you make it. That would not have been the perception for Danish players. It is now, and it's his legacy, really, that he's paved that path.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you grew up in a place that actually has more than one hockey rink. I grew up in Mississippi. I didn't know anything about hockey until I started watching literally, like, SPHL guys, and here they are, and they're some of my favorite players of all time, mainly because they got me my start in hockey and I didn't know how big I could dream. And I think seeing guys like him pave the way for those other kids, they can now dream bigger. It's now tangible. They can do whatever they want. They can be whoever they want to be. And because of him, they can now play in the NHL if that's what they want. So
now let's talk about the best of the best who have arrived here in Finland, because I asked you guys to each build your all-star team. Reagan, yours here from Tampere, as you were here in the preliminaries. Mike from Helsinki. And let's see, may the best all-star team win, right?
Go ahead, Mike.
We're talking about competition and scorecards. Here is your chance.
Life is not about competing for me.
Well, no, life is about. So here's mine. Here's mine. Okay, so I'll start in net and work my way out. From Helsinki, Group A, my all-star team is in net. I'm saying Sebastian Dom. Like, I feel awful that he had such a terrible last game. But prior to his last game, he had a 950. I know it's not Okanora, but it's 950 save percentage. Playing for Denmark, not some, you know, airtight defense. So he's my goaltender. On defense, Valeri Orehov. You don't even know who that is. I love it, but he's like, for Kazakhstan, who, you know, had a difficult tournament, this guy put up 7 points, 3 goals. I really liked his game. I'd never even heard of him before. I wasn't familiar with him. He was excellent. Paired with him, Mo Sider from Germany on defense. That'll be my, you know, he can do everything, play every which way. He's got 6 points in the tournament as well, very quietly. And up front, Dennis Malgin has been electric from the get-go for Switzerland. 12 points in the tournament so far. Just flying every single game. In the middle, I got Pierre-Luc Dubois, the giant from Canada. He has been, I wasn't sure if he'd be able to skate well enough to be great in the big ice, but he has been just really, really effective, really good. And the kid, Juraj Slafkovský, is my other winger. That's right. I'm taking the kid for a little youthful exuberance. That's my starting six. Reagan, what do you got?
Well, you already touched on my goalie.
Yeah.
I've got the Finnish goalie, obviously, Okanora. And then on the back end, because I love defense, I'm going to go with Dahlin, because he's been playing pretty well and his size is very nice. I love that on my team. And then Lehtinen, he's also an offensive defenseman. And everybody needs someone that can score on the back end or get pucks in net. Then you got Cervenka, obviously, Nylander, and Blumel for forwards. I think Blumel's going to add the touch that my team would need, because we have 2 goal scorers already, but Blumel's good at getting the pucks to the people that can actually really score. And with Nylander, obviously he's registering almost 2 points per game in every time he plays, he scores. So the odds are looking good for me, and then leading scorer. So I'm going to take him. It's
Mike,
looking good.
Did I miss something, or what? Is Reagan's MVP not on her list?
Stop. I took him off.
Pasta, the MVP, is not on the list, but Blumel, who got bumped off that line because Pasta showed up, did make it. Interesting coach.
He's got something to fight for. You can't have 3 goal scorers all in one line. It's come on, you gotta think.
There's only so much puck to go around. Not gonna lie to you, Reagan's roster is nice, probably better than mine. But the one thing
clip that, Marav. Clip that so I can save it.
I will send it to you. You can make it the ringtone when Mike calls you.
Click the butt as I come in with my butt. The ability to play without the puck for those guys. The ability with it, sure. And yes, they have Okanor, who doesn't give up goals. But does he not give up goals because he never gets shots and chances, or because he's so great? I think my squad would generate chances at least. So we'll see how good your Okanora is behind that roster, because that's all offense, not so much defense coming at me with that group.
Defense.
No.
Says the defender.
I know.
You don't need defense.
Good. It'll be fine.
Well, we're going to let our listeners also weigh in on this one. So now that you've heard both Mike and Reagan's all-star teams, let us know who you think would win if we were to pit them against each other on the ice. Let us know on our social channels, IIHF Hockey. And then if we like your answers, maybe we'll add them to the show, see what Mike and Reagan have to say about that. Sure. Meanwhile, reminder, IIHF Fantasy Game. New round, you can choose players again. So if you're going
back, I didn't know that. I was trying to like string out my good players to the end so I could have them available to me this weekend.
Well, you're doing pretty well anyway, Mike. I think have double the points I have at this point.
Well, let's just check in real quick, Reagan, with our little league.
I missed a day on accident. Give me a break. I missed actually a few days.
No breaks. There aren't that many days. You don't get a break for missing a day.
Yes. So
let's check it. I need to see
my leagues. Where are we? Rankings. There's whatever. We had 35 people in our rankings.
Oh no.
Let's see. Marav, you roll in at Reagan is 21st. Reagan is last amongst us. 21. Marav, you are a solid teen, and I am ahead of both you guys.
That puts me at, what, 15 from the bottom? So I'm winning. If we go back to our conversation from the beginning of this tournament, of as long as you're not the last, you're fine.
Unless you're first. And you, Reagan, who is in first in the entire fantasy league, in our league? Who?
I have no idea. I'm not going to say it out loud. Yes. No, I don't want to.
If you speak it, it comes true, huh?
Yeah.
I'll come back today.
Me.
Well, reminder for all of our listeners, there are still chances to win prizes. You can choose players again, even if you chose them three times during the preliminary round. So you can find the fantasy game at fantasy.iihf.com. Go ahead, play the game. Don't forget in this days like Reagan, because then you end up being made fun of by Mike. And we don't want that.
No.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. I have 196 points, Mike. It just doesn't show up in the league. Give me a break.
It does.
You're still like double me, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I'm over.
Well, it is now time for us to go get ready for today's games. We'll be back on Saturday, the next day of games. So watch out for us on Twitter Spaces and on the IIHF app and your favorite streaming services. This was the Totally Ice Hockey Show. We're getting ready for the quarterfinals, and we'll see you at game time, guys.
Quarterfinal knockout day. Let's go.
Let's see. Here we go. Bye, everyone.